You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with LeBron on the brink of being bounced. Is the sun about to set on the king in round one? We'll start there. Then, is today the day Julio is dealt? Does this superstar change the Super Bowl expectations wherever he goes? And then, Aaron has a choice. Pack it up or pack it in. We'll tell you why his biggest problem is he has no third option. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. On a morning filled with options here in New York, Greeny with you and ready to roll. The football crew is ready to go today. Lots to talk about with Kimberly Martin, Jeff Saturday, Mike Tannenbaum, and we'll be joined by others as we go. But it begins with LeBron on the brink. Oh, this was ugly last night. Game 5, Western Conference, first round in Phoenix. Anthony Davis not playing, and candidly, neither were any of his teammates. Take a look early here. You're watching as the Lakers are just sort of watching as the Suns are flying in for putbacks and they're throwing balls away, and the Lakers in the first half were just an out-and-out disaster. And on the other end, it was Devin Booker doing everything, working through the defense. 18 in the first quarter for Booker on his way to 30 to lead all scorers. Under 4 to go in the half. The Lakers are down 26 points. And look, we got no basket, we got no offense, we got no life. LeBron James just showing the frustration as we go the other way. They're uncontested slam. Lakers down by 30 at the half. Largest postseason deficit of LeBron's career. However, not all the news was good for the Suns. In the third, down goes Chris Paul. You know, he's been struggling with the shoulder, and this clearly bothers him here after Wesley Matthews box out. That is one to keep a close eye on, but it was by no means the only good news for the Lakers last night, or however you want to phrase that. LeBron would leave the bench with 5 minutes to go, and the Suns win it going away. It's the first time LeBron has lost consecutive first-round games in his career. But now another LeBron streak is in big jeopardy. He's a perfect 14-0 in the first round. Since the playoffs expanded to 16 teams in 84, the only players with better first-round marks are Robert Horry and Derek Fisher. LeBron is in trouble. Game 6 is tomorrow in L.A. Let's talk.
Our ass kicked. I mean, it's just that simple. They got to whatever they wanted to get to in this game. And, we got to be better, obviously, if we want to force a Game 7. So, I mean, they pretty much just kicked our asses. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
I mean, that pretty much does sum it up. Here we go. Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe. Fellas, good morning. And Big Perk, I have been all morning long as we prepare to come on trying to figure out what's the right thing to say about that performance last night. I'll give you the honor, Big Perk. What's the right thing to say?
The right thing to say, G, is that the Lakers need Jesus. Look, Anthony Davis can't save them right now, okay? And here's why. I know everyone is talking about LeBron James should have been really aggressive last night, but Phoenix are doing their job defensively. They're loading up and they're saying, guess what? The others are going to have to beat us. I could count several times when LeBron James made the correct pass and guys were passing up shots or not knocking down shots. And then defensively, where's Andre Drummond to protect the paint? This is where the Lakers are missing Dwight Howard. They took him for granted. And Lord knows, don't get me started on Dennis Schroeder, okay? Mr. I'm worth $100 million, okay? You got to show it. You can't lay a donut in a game 5 when it matters the most. When the lights hit the ice, you don't come up to perform in the biggest moment. So right now I'm looking at this Phoenix Suns team, the role players, the young core, Cameron Payne, Bridges, all these guys are playing with the ultimate confidence while the Lakers veterans are sitting there hanging a goose egg and not showing up to the party.
So, Zach, I mean, I think he just sort of said a mouthful there. Everything that could possibly have gone wrong went wrong for the Lakers. How do you, Zach Lowe, explain it?
Yeah, the only thing that went right was that Kyle Kuzma finally came alive a little bit. Look, they played like a team that was discouraged. that knew it was a long shot to win without Anthony Davis, knew they had game six at home and thought, well, we can get that one and maybe come here and win game seven. It was a horrible effort. It was a layup line. They got no defense from anybody. Perk's right. The role players, most of them all failed. Dennis Schroeder was awful. And LeBron, the criticism is right. I thought LeBron would have to come out and dominate the game, run pick and roll after pick and roll after pick and roll. Dennis Schroeder ran as many pick and rolls as LeBron, basically. LeBron would get switches, Devin Booker, friendly matchups, and just sort of pass off. And yeah, sometimes it was the right play, but the Lakers didn't need LeBron in make the right play mode. The Lakers needed LeBron in let me get 35, 15, and 10. And look, maybe he just doesn't have it in him. We know he's dealing with an injury. We know that injury tends to not improve with anything but rest. And so this is where we are.
And so they – go ahead, Perk.
Zach, what are you talking about, man? I mean, they're literally loading up. They're giving him no driving gaps. Yes, he's getting switches, but they're coming on a late double team. What are you what, I mean, tell me, what do LeBron James
– When is any defense like that force LeBron to be passive? When is any defense like that shut him down until the game was over and he started making a lot of threes? Yes, I agree. Phoenix's defense, their help and recover, is amazing. They're packing the paint. They're playing well. The Lakers just needed more from everybody. It doesn't have to be about LeBron. It was everybody.
Oh, please, Zach. Please. If you go back and look at the history of role players that's been around LeBron James, even throughout his playoff runs when he was in Cleveland, when he was shorthanded, you had guys like J.R. Smith step up and come to the party who were able to step in and knock down shots. You had guys like Tristan Thompson who will come in and give you 15 and 15 at the center position. He's not getting that. And I don't understand.
He is like, not.
If they're loading up on you, what are you supposed to do? Zach, shoot over three people? That's what you want them to do?
No, but there were times where he definitely could have been more aggressive, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, then let me turn to one other thing here, because there's another piece to this story, Big Perk, and I'm sure everybody saw Charles Barkley calling Anthony Davis street clothes last night and all the criticism. I'm asking you, Big Perk, as one who played in the league for a really long time, is when we juxtapose Chris Paul out there with his shoulder and Anthony Davis not on the floor, is criticism of Anthony Davis today fair or not fair? Big Perk.
It's not fair. It's not fair, G, because when you think about it, he's dealing with multiple injuries on the same leg. He's dealing with a knee injury along with coming off a strained Achilles and now a groin injury on the same leg. So it's not fair to Anthony Davis. And look, I know he has a history of being injured, but being soft, I don't see that. Last year, he dominated in the postseason. And to me, he's laying it all out on the line, so it's not fair criticism to Anthony Davis, and I don't agree with nobody saying that he's street clothes or whatever the case may be, because this man is dealing with multiple injuries.
How about you, Zach?
Completely agree. Hold on for a second. Did we forget what Anthony Davis did in the playoffs that last year? And we're talking about a season with a compressed schedule during a pandemic, a guy with a leg injury and a knee injury and all this, and we're going to sit here in the media, dudes who have never played in the NBA, and tisk a guy for being injured in the playoffs? Come on. Anthony Davis has earned the benefit of the doubt. We have to be better than calling guys soft for reasons like this.
All right, that is fair. Let us leave that there for the moment, but guys, stay in the bullpen. We're coming back to you shortly here off of what was obviously a huge night, and the Lakers are on the brink. But the biggest night of all belonged to Damian Lillard. Oh, was he spectacular last night. Game 5, Portland, Denver. Going to pick it up final seconds of the fourth. Blazers are down by 3. You see the time remaining. 8 seconds, 7, 6. You know it's going to be Dame. Oh, typical Damian Lillard throwing in a 3 to tie it with 3 seconds remaining on his way to 55 points. Here come the Nuggets to try and win it in regulation. They would not. And so 48 minutes were insufficient to settle the issue. Final 30 seconds now of the overtime. Blazers are down by 5, but Damian Lillard doesn't give up. They trailed by as many as 9 in the OT. Now it's a 2-point game. 12 seconds left. Blazers are down by 3. Damian Lillard, oh, you got to be kidding me. Knocking that one in. We're going to double OT. Tied at 135. Under 4 minutes to go in the double OT. Blazers down by 1. Lillard again. Man is insane. Did I mention he had 55 points? Blazers up by two. Under two to go now. What a game. Tied at 140. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. Oh, there's the three big ones. Denver by three. Final chance now for the Blazers. Damian Lillard for CJ McCollum. Hold everything. He steps on the line. Take a look. The right foot clearly out of bounds. And so the 55 points for Dame, not enough. Jokic had 38 and 11, and the Nuggets take a 3-2 lead in this best of seven off a thrilling double overtime win. Now, as for Lillard, his 55 points, the third most all-time in a playoff loss. Last year, Donovan Mitchell had 57. The record, of course, Michael Jordan with 63. Lillard scored or assisted on 80 points last night. That ties the NBA's postseason record. So that is the NBA story as of this moment. How about the NFL story? Julio Jones could be traded literally any minute now as the Falcons try to get under the salary cap so they can sign their draft picks. They need to move him quickly. The big question is, where will he go and what will it cost to get him? And the great news is I have Kimberly here to answer that question. Kimberly, what are we expecting on Julio Jones and how soon?
Greeny, it's a matter of when, not if. Everybody around the league expects Julio to be moved. But you'd think Julio Jones, great player. Obviously, he's going to be dealt June 1st, right? The sticking point really is the compensation, the age, and the health of this player. A lot of teams would like to add him, but how much are you going to give up? You know, I actually found out that the Ravens and the Rams, two teams that make sense on paper, you can cross them off the list of potential landing spots. So, you know, execs that I talk to around the league are skeptical that the Falcons are going to be able to get a 2022 first-round pick. In fact, a GM I spoke to last night said he would give up a third for Julio Jones.
Wow, that's remarkable. Again, 32 years old, and you do start to see some of the injuries. And, Mike T., I know there's one team that you continue to have your eye on that you think makes the most sense.
It's Tennessee, Greeny, because they've lost a couple of good players. Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, a really productive pass-receiving tight end. If they could pair Julio Jones with A.J. Brown, they still have Derrick Henry and a very productive Ryan Tannehill. Julio Jones very well may tip the balance in the AFC and close the gap between Tennessee and Kansas City. They need to be explosive on offense because they have some younger pieces on defense. Julio Jones could be consequential to the Titans.
Well, let's go there, Jeff Saturday. If you put Julio Jones on the Tennessee Titans, and he mentions it, Tannehill, Henry, Brown, now Julio, what does that team become in your opinion, Jeff?
A true contender. And listen, and really it all sets up off of Derrick Henry because you have to bring eight guys down the box, sometimes nine, to stop the run game because you know Tennessee stays committed to it. And what does that mean for Julio and A.J. Brown? That means man coverage on the outside. When you think about Julio and the ability to practice, if he does stay banged up the way he has the past couple seasons, it's going to be difficult to get a ton of reps with Tannehill. So if at least you get man-to-man coverage, you know Julio's really good at that, of getting open, of making plays on off-script type plays when the quarterback has to move. We know Tannehill's got nice athleticism getting outside the pocket. So it will be a nice benefit for Tennessee. But ultimately, I still like San Francisco, Greeny. I've said it. I'm going to keep saying it the same way Mike T's saying them. I'm going San Fran.
Kimberly, put a ribbon on this. San Francisco and Tennessee feel like two of the real contenders at this late stage, mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah, because Tennessee is a team that comes up in a lot of my conversations with executives. But any head coach will tell you, this: you're playing with fire with Julio Jones. So you got to be sure that your team is literally just a Julio Jones away from making a lot of noise in the playoffs. Because if not, you're investing a lot of money in a guy who's 32.
And those two seem like places that you could apply that to. Tennessee and San Francisco thinking that way. Guys, stay with me here. We have just begun here with our football conversation this morning. Still to come on Get Up, why Aaron Rodgers may want to stop packing his bags and the one scenario where everyone loses. Plus, Big Ben says don't sleep on the Steelers. What he had to say about his team and why one of our crews says he couldn't be more wrong is on the way. Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up and back to the NBA action last night. The Nets' big three looking to close out the Celtics, averaging almost 86 points a game in this series, most of any trio of all time. And let's just take a look at Kevin Durant doing it on the defensive end and then running the floor and getting it back on the offensive end, and the Nets were firing on all cylinders. Second quarter, the Nets are leading by 7. It's James Harden using a screen. Where the hell is the defense? Harden with a near triple-double in the first half. Nets lead by 8. At halftime, fourth quarter, Nets still up 8. Kevin Durant draining the 3 from the wing. He had 24. Next Nets possession, Kyrie Irving for 3. He had 25. 4 minutes to go. Nets up big. Harden, he had 34. The big 3 pours it on, and that's all she wrote. The series over in 5. The Nets move on to play Milwaukee. And our friends at Caesars, William Hill, says the Nets are minus 180 favorites for the series. And our analytics agree, the BPI giving Brooklyn a 63% chance to win. But it was Milwaukee that won the season series 2-1, with the Nets having just 2 members of the big 3 for all 3 of those games. More basketball as we continue. But back to the story of the NFL offseason, and that is Aaron Rodgers. June is here. And there is more potential now for Rodgers to be dealt by Green Bay. But all of the latest reporting suggests the Packers are happy to wait Aaron out as the standoff between the superstar quarterback and the legendary franchise continues. And so, once again, I turn to Kimberly. Where do we stand right now regarding Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, Greeny, it's the storyline that never ends. When I talk to people in the league, they tell me, no way this guy is getting traded in 2021, because they, league execs, GMs, they feel like Green Bay should not capitulate at all to Aaron Rodgers. They feel like Green Bay should stand its ground, force Aaron Rodgers to not show up, then you make a decision. But right now, Green Bay, the calendar, months go by, shows go by, we talk about the same thing, but Green Bay is feeling no pressure to do anything. And I guarantee this saga between Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, to me, I think it'll last longer than Dynasty, because we are just going to be talking about this till August, September. It's going to keep going.
I'm not sure if everyone gets that reference, but I most certainly am old enough to get that reference.
I know Tannenbaum gets it. I know Tannenbaum will know Dynasty. I know.
Tannenbaum, what? I mean,
are you referring to my experience?
What should
yes,
we say?
Yes.
What are the Packers doing here? The game they're playing is just sitting it out, waiting, and what? What are they waiting for? Mike?
Yeah, well, look. Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Labor Day again, Greeny. They want to be patient, and here's why. If they were going to trade him, which I don't believe they will, most of the compensation will be in draft choices. So it could be done on June 2nd, September 2nd, November 2nd. If he moves on and they lose, they're going to lose their jobs. They know that. So they have to be patient. Now, one potential idea, Greeny, would be to go to him and say, hey, look, you have 2 more years to go after this year. We will take those 2 years off. You come in for mandatory minicamp, training camp, and we have 1 year to repair this. Obviously, they still have the franchise tag. in the back pocket. That could be a compromise. Now, a decade ago, I tried the same play with Darrell Revis' agents, and while it sounds like a great idea, I couldn't get it done then. I don't know if Green Bay can get it done now, but it's certainly worth a shot. It's a good compromise. I certainly think it's a good idea.
I'm with you, but Jeff Saturday, I want to come to you from a player's mentality, and you kind of understand this. Like, all this conversation about compromise, the sense I'm getting just watching it from afar is that Aaron Rodgers is not in any state of mind to compromise with anybody. He is going to do this the way he wants it done, and I'm not sure he's that concerned about how the chips fall. What is your sense of where his head is right now and how that will impact where this goes?
I think you're reading it perfectly right now. And I'll say it this way, Greeny. I think right now he's comfortable playing it, pushing everything out. Here's where the competitive juices start to jump. You get into August and you start seeing teams compete. You start hearing it. Listen, your body is on a clock, right? Like, all of a sudden you start feeling like, man, I should be in camp. I should be doing this. You're coming off an MVP season. So as patient as he is being right now, I think as the season gets closer and closer and you start to see ball being played and you're not in it, I think those competitive juices start to flow. And ultimately, this guy wants to prove once again they were dead wrong in the way they handled it, and he can go out and show them by the way that he plays on the field.
Yeah, but to some degree, he did that a year ago already. I feel like with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I think they're dead to him, and now he's just going to let it play out however he wants, but coming back may not be on the list of options. And so Kimberly is, I feel like a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, well, maybe something with the Broncos is imminent. You're telling me that across the league, people don't have any expectation that he's going to get traded anytime soon.
No, because he's that good of a player. Every team wants an answer at quarterback, and you have a Hall of Fame type quarterback. You cannot, if you're Matt LaFleur, no wonder he's at his press conferences basically begging Aaron Rodgers to come back, because he knows Aaron Rodgers not being in Green Bay is not good for him. It's not good for the GM. And Aaron Rodgers sitting out 2021, if it comes to that, that's not good for anybody. We want to see Aaron Rodgers on the field. So Green Bay's got to hope that they can mend these fences, but it doesn't look good.
All right, we'll have more on that in a moment. But we've waited 24 minutes, Jeff Saturday, for what is going to be my favorite thing in this show today.
Yeah.
It is Meanwhile on Planet Earth, which is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. This was the video that blew up the internet yesterday. That's a bear threatening these little dogs, and that's a 17-year-old girl yeeting the bear directly off a wall. What do you think of that, Jeff Saturday, as far as the block? What do we make of this?
Unbelievable. Sign her today. Get her into camp. Show everybody what tenacity looks like. I mean, she goes just bam. She big balls the bear down. He knocks it off the actual wall. The bear climbs up. I mean, this is insane. Like, first of all, I'm staying in the house because I'm scared. Not only is she not scared, she goes up and gives that thing a wallop, man. That is a three-pancaker like none of. There's been no football play last season, nor will there be one this season with that type of mentality. That is give it your all and show them who boss is. That is unbelievable.
I'm with you. I mean, you blocked bears in your life, but they were all playing for Chicago. This is a whole different kind of bear blocking that we are seeing. That is extraordinary technique and everything. That was my favorite thing I saw yesterday by far. Let's take a quick break on that thought. Much more as we go. LeBron is on the brink of being bounced. Is the sun about to set on the king in round one? Jay will with his perspective in just a moment. Plus, Patrick wants to go undefeated. Just how hard is it to accomplish that? And should they even try? We'll answer those questions next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Come on, get up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and let's run the floor through last night's NBA playoff action. The Nets heading to a second-round showdown with Milwaukee, led last night by their big three. James Harden, a triple-double with 34 points. They eliminate the Celtics in five. Kyrie had 25. KD had 24. Game one versus Milwaukee will be on Saturday. Elsewhere last night in Denver, Damian Lillard was unbelievable. 12 threes on the night. That sets a playoff record. Two of them were so clutch, they sent the game to double overtime. He would score 55, but it wasn't enough. Denver won it in the double OT by seven to take a 3-2 lead in that best of seven. And then LeBron and the Lakers on the brink of elimination, playing without Anthony Davis. The Suns absolutely dominated, taking a 30-point lead into halftime and winning by 30. Devin Booker scored 30 for the Suns. Chris Paul re-injured the right shoulder in the third quarter. He says he'll be okay. Here's what LeBron says about Game 6 tomorrow night.
It's literally win or go home at that point. So, you shoot all the bullets you got and throw the gun too. So, I look forward to the environment. Obviously, our Laker faithful going to give us a lot of energy. And I look forward to the moment. I look forward to the challenge and see what brings out the best of me and my teammates.
All right, so that's how he sounds. Let's talk about how he looked with Jay Will, KJZ, of course, ESPN Radio. I don't know what the right thing to say is this morning about that performance. What is it?
Frustrating. I know LeBron James had 19 shots last night, but last night was a game where you wanted to see LeBron James right from the beginning not be passive. You want to see him be, one word, Greeny, aggressive. And aggressive in this game means 30-plus shots for LeBron James. Double teams, fine. I don't care. Triple teams, fine. I need you to get the ball up to the rim. I need you to shoot. I understand LeBron James makes the right plays, and this is not all on LeBron James. Neither am I making excuses for LeBron James. But you wanted to see him be aggressive and not passive like he was in the first quarter. That obviously led to a big run. And also Dennis Schroeder, you can't turn down an extension worth $80+ million and come out there with a stinker and go 0-of-9 from the field with a donut in a game five that is a pivotal game five for your team.
Yeah, I mean, everything that could possibly have gone wrong went wrong. But it all begins, of course, with LeBron James. And yesterday here on the show, Jalen Rose told me, going to have a 35-point triple-double. He's got to dominate the action. And he seemed passive almost from the jump. What happened with that?
I can't tell you. I mean, I was sitting there watching the game in the first quarter, kind of shocked. And I understand making the right play, getting Alex Caruso shots or getting KCP shots. But, like, LeBron James doesn't need to make the right play. LeBron James needs to make the greatest player of all time type plays.
Yeah.
That's what you look for him. We didn't get that in that moment. I was extremely disappointed last night. I'm sure LeBron James is extremely disappointed. There's no doubt with AD needs to come back for this next game, and LeBron James needs to be aggressive, and that's not what we saw him in game five.
And what do we say about Anthony Davis? I mean, we all, Charles Barkley calling him street clothes last night and all the rest. What is the right thing to say about Anthony Davis today?
That's the right thing for me to say about Anthony Davis. I got nothing to say. I mean, AD needs to come back. AD needs to play. What I will say, Greeny, because I'm going to put respect on people's names, Devin Booker played with that mama mentality last night. Mm-hmm. And last night, I saw CP3 lead a team playing hurt. And if Wesley Matthews hits him or not, I know what kind of dog is in CP3. I don't know what kind of dog is in Anthony Davis. And I see it when he plays well and he's aggressive. It takes a lot for him to get there to be that person. But now we get a chance to see the character of AD. And I know he's come off a lot of injuries. We're asking a lot of him. But this is why we play the game. This is that moment for them.
Yeah, they are champions.
Yes, they are.
And they're going to have to show up and be there.
Agreed. Can I say something? They are champions.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Is Miami was a team that got to the World Championship. What happened to Miami in the first round?
They're done. They got swept.
They got swept. So you also have this bubble narrative where people are saying, okay, you won a championship, but you won in a bubble. Now I know you're facing adversity. It's time.
Yeah, tomorrow night will be the time. The time is right now for him to go back across the hall. It's KJZ every weekday morning on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
There it is.
Yeah, I'm going to pass up the shot and just pass it back to you. That's what they did last night. All right, in the meantime, back to the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, who this week stated that one of his goals for the upcoming season is to go 20-0. But yesterday here on Get Up, we asked Teddy Bruschi about the challenges and pressures of going undefeated. Here's what he said.
for some teams that don't want it. I mean, the players wouldn't say this, but the Indianapolis Colts a couple years later had the opportunity to finish an undefeated regular season. They decided, I think it was to rest against the New York Jets. Brings the outside in when you get that close. The Colts obviously decided the way to do it was to rest their players. When I got the job at ESPN and then Saturday got hired, right? The first thing I asked him in the hallway was, dude, why? And his answer, and he, to this day, he is upset about that still.
That was yesterday. Today is Saturday, if you will. Jeff, we all remember the game. Again, for those who don't, your team had a shot at an unbeaten season. You started pulling your starters out at halftime of a late season game and ultimately lost. It's a season in which your team did wind up in the Super Bowl. But all these years later, how do you feel about it?
Like a gut punch. Today, like you just hit me right in the gut when you asked me the question. I mean, this is as painful, this is a painful memory as I have from the NFL. We had every opportunity to go get that season, and we decided it wasn't worth it to go play for the undefeated season, but instead for the Super Bowl. I just disagreed. You know, Bill Polian, who obviously started my career and Hall of Famer, all those things, he and I go head-to-head on this one, and we still go head-to-head because I still think there's only been one team to do it, Greeny. One team pops champagne every year. Go for it. I love that Patrick Mahomes is saying this. Absolutely. Will it work out? I have no idea. But if you don't start by saying we want to win every single one of them and have that mentality each and every week, you'll definitely never get there. Oh, we're going to win some. We're going to lose some. Nah, man. We want to win them all. And, hey, Mike T benefited from that terrible decision we made. And we ended up having to go play that team in the AFC Championship game. We win it. But I'm just telling you, like from a player perspective, Greeny, this is as painful as it gets. And I'm all about staying on the field, going to win. I don't care about the Super Bowl. We'll get there when we get there. Let's go win them all and then give ourselves a chance to set or go down in NFL history as one of the two greatest teams ever, because that's the only way you can decide that.
Can I ask you one more question? And I don't want you – I'm not asking you to betray any confidences, so whatever you're comfortable. But Teddy told us – that he and Tom Brady and some of the other captains met with Bill Belichick during the final weeks of that season. They were unbeaten and said, we want to make sure we're on the same page here. Don't take us out. We want to play.
And, that's right.
You know, and Bill ultimately made those decisions. Did you guys push for that? Did you have that opportunity to try and talk your way onto the field? What do you recall about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we were all for let's go play. Bill Polian made the ultimate decision, right? He still stands by it. He looked me dead in the eye without any hesitation or reservation and said, my job is to get us to the Super Bowl, give us a chance to win a world championship. This is the way I know we have the best opportunity to do it. So, you know, from his perspective, he was dug in on his side. We were dug in on our side. He gets to make the final call because he's the general manager. But, yeah, it was. Players wanted to play, man. We wanted a chance to make history. It just didn't work out that way.
So, it's look, sitting here, all of us are thinking, oh, my goodness, how could they not let you guys do that? But again, we're not in that moment and making that call. And so, Mike Tannenbaum, if you were ever fortunate enough to find yourself in that situation, you're the general manager of a team that is unbeaten late in the season, what would you do?
I agree with Bill Polian, and here's why. This is about winning a championship and having a chance to have maximum performance at the right time of the year. And because of bye weeks and scheduling and candidly the risk of injury, and Jeff knows better than anybody, that team was really top heavy. It was a great team, but you guys had superstars, and if the wrong player got hurt, it had huge consequences. So I know it's not popular, but from a strategic planning standpoint, I would sit players if we knew our seeding was locked in. So it's not popular, but if you're taking the long view that the object of the exercise is to win a championship, I understand what Bill Polian did.
Kimberly, what do you think?
I think I actually covered that game. I remember the Colts players not playing. You know, I think going undefeated, it's cute. It's cute. You know, I understand why Mahomes is saying that's the goal. I don't think it'll happen now with an extra game. Not as you hear Mike and Jeff debate this, you know, two sides. Will they even get a chance? Will players even get a chance to be on the field? But if you're Patrick Mahomes and you're 25 and you've been to two Super Bowls already, you've won a Super Bowl, you've been a Super Bowl MVP. I mean, when you're thinking of things to get you motivated, bucket list things, obviously going undefeated is at the top of the list because this kid has started his career unlike a lot of QBs out there. So more power to him, but I don't think it's going to happen.
It's such an interesting scenario in so many ways. And Andy Reid historically has rested his starters at the ends of seasons where his team has been locked in. Now, they've never been unbeaten, but one would assume he would probably do the same thing. Maybe we'll get a chance to find out. In the meantime, let me break briefly on that thought, but we have a lot more to do. Ben Roethlisberger talking yesterday, saying his Steelers are being dissed. Why one of our crew thinks he's absolutely right. You will hear that. Plus, one of Nick Saban's old coaches is trying to knock him off the mountaintop. Can he do it? That's the question. And the answer is on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up and back to the NFL, where Big Ben is returning as his 18th season as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Roethlisberger speaking this week about taking a pay cut to help Pittsburgh in the 2021 season. Here's part of what he had to say.
It was my idea. I told him I want to help the team out however we can. And so I went to them and told them that I would do whatever I could to help the team sign the guys that are going to help us win football games. So I wanted to come back to be a part of what I think is a special football team that everyone's overlooking, which is kind of cool too.
Everyone's overlooking us, says Ben Roethlisberger. There's a lot to unpack in what he just said. But Jeff Saturday, are you buying that? Are we overlooking the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I am buying it. Listen, man, everybody's kind of got on this train of just bashing the Steelers. Their offensive line was soft last year. They played poorly. Everybody understands that. Schematically, from an offensive perspective, you're throwing the ball dang near 50 times a game with a guy who had an elbow reconstructive surgery the season before. And by the way, they were 11-0 at one point. Did they hit the skids towards the end of the season? Absolutely. But with this defense and Mike Tomlin as their head coach, to be dismissive of this team, I think is foolish. This team, if they get and find a structure for an offense that can be complementary to that defense, this team can make noise. And by the way, they would still have a chance to win the division. So don't just cast this team off like they're going to be trash. I do not buy into that. I agree with what Roethlisberger is saying right here.
Kimberly, why did you look so skeptical?
Because how can they – he's saying they're being overlooked. We literally are looking at the – we are looking at you. I was at that game where they lost to the Browns in the first round. Like, this is an 11-0 team that was viewed by the end of the season as probably the softest 11-0 team. You know, we saw them lose to the Browns. Big Ben, pouncy, crying on the bench. You know, this is what we're all looking at. This isn't, you know, we just woke up one day and decided to question the direction of the Steelers. You know, Big Ben had to take a pay cut in order to stay with the franchise. Juju didn't get the big money that he was expecting in free agency. There are a lot of questions about where this team is headed post Big Ben. He's got this year. So them being overlooked to me seems a bit overblown. I think there are obvious questions. And when you look around the AFC, everybody's gotten better. So the question is, how good are the Steelers going to be? That's what we want to know.
That is the question. Mike Tannenbaum, what's the answer?
The answer is Jeff Saturday's completely wrong. The Steelers are going to be bad this year and going to get worse next year. That's the spite. I agree with you on Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin's a great coach. But if you go back to last year, Ben Roethlisberger was 31st in the league in yards per pass attempt. He cannot get the ball down the field. They were bad on the offensive line last year. They have a new left tackle, a new center, replacing two really good players. It is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And here's why. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, they're going to keep getting better. They're young, ascending quarterbacks. Pittsburgh doesn't have a succession plan. And Ben Roethlisberger's at the end, they made a fatal mistake. They are paying Ben Roethlisberger for what he was, not what he's going to be in 2021.
It's a fascinating question.
Jeff, I'll give you the final. Mike T loves talking about the Steelers.
Well, look, he was right.
That's the facts. Just the facts.
So we can say, I told you so, everybody. Yeah, that's why.
No.
Jeff, final word. Go.
Let me say this. This could be my first. Mike T is high. And let me tell you why, Mike T. You're betting against Tomlin. He took Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and made them a formidable opponent in the NFL. This is what happens in May and June and July. Everybody falls in love with rosters. Mike T used to design them. They're all beautiful until you got to go play. Mike T is about playing, and he gets those guys, he gets the most out of his teams, and he asks, hey, when we hit the field, men, it's no back down. That's the type of mentality that makes a team that might not look great on a roster good on a football. I'm buying Mike T and the way that he's run his team.
To be clear, he's talking about Mike Tomlin as Mike T, not our Mike T. I got to leave it there because we've got others standing by. Stand by. Guys, I promise we will come back to this. Our Mike T, I'll give you a chance for a rebuttal. But first, a reminder. The Women's College World Series starts tomorrow night in Oklahoma City for the 30th year. And we have the first two games on ESPN and the ESPN app. Noon Eastern, James Madison against Oklahoma. Then it's Georgia taking on Oklahoma State. It has been over a decade since the Texas Longhorns were national title contenders in college football. Since then, Texas has hired three coaches going back to 2014. Steve Sarkisian is now the next man up to try to fix the Longhorns. Heather Dinich has more on Sark's Texas-sized expectations.
I understand if you don't win all the games here, people are unhappy. So other people love eight wins. This place isn't that way, and I agree with them.
It's been seven seasons since Mack Brown resigned to Texas, and people are still unhappy. No Big 12 titles, no national relevance, and certainly no shortage of pressure on Steve Sarkisian, the third coach Texas has hired to fix it all. Sark's offense is proven, but his track record as a head coach is not. He went 46-35 during stints at USC and Washington and hasn't been a head coach since 2015. Sarkisian, now 47, understands the lofty expectations at Texas because they're the same as everywhere else he's been. As Alabama's offensive coordinator the past two seasons, the Crimson Tide's offense soared with its two highest scoring seasons in program history. The question is if he can do it at Texas, with a quarterback who has never started a college game. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, Texas has the fourth toughest schedule in the FBS. With games against Louisiana and Arkansas, an 0-2 start isn't far-fetched. The Longhorns are projected to finish the regular season with 7.4 wins. Sure, other people love eight wins. For once, Texas fans should be thrilled with it.
And if it's Wednesday, it means Heather and Paul here with us on Get Up. And Heather, certainly you're outlining it well there. And for the fans across the country who don't fully understand the dynamic here, how would you describe the pressure that exists at Texas, regardless of what realistic expectations might seem to be?
Well, the pressure, Greeny, is phenomenal, and it's because there are a lot of wealthy Texas boosters that have an enormous amount of influence in the way the program is headed. And I talked to Sark last week, and if you're a Texas fan, you'd be happy because he said all the right things. And one of the questions that I asked him was, what did you learn during your time as a head coach? And his answer reminded me that he was only 33 years old when he took over at Washington. As you heard, he's now 47. And one of the biggest differences, he said, is his confidence in who he is and what he wants to do with the football program. He said they had a great spring. They have an amazing running back in Bijan Robinson. He's about 230 pounds. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He could be in the Heisman conversation if Texas puts them there, meaning if they are good enough to be on the national stage. So he has a lot of work to do. He said, you don't just pick up your offense from Alabama and throw it into Texas and blink and it's there. But he said he inherited a lot of talent and he's confident that they bought in quickly.
All right. So, Paul, let's talk about the expectations. We all understand they are Texas sized. Are they realistic?
They are not. Texas is no big deal other than to Texas fans. This is not a relevant program anymore, Greeny. And go back to 2013 when Texas people fired Mack Brown. He didn't resign. He was shown the door. The same Mack Brown who now has North Carolina in the top 10. Texas can't even win its own state anymore. Lost two of its best players to Alabama. It's pathetically behind Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. It's way, way behind their biggest rival up in Norman, Oklahoma. Texas is fighting for third at best in its own league, and I don't really see a clear path. I think Sark is a very good coach, but let's be honest, Hembo could have coached that offense last year at Alabama.
Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you, Paul, is he the right guy to do it, though? They're waiting for someone to finally get them back where they want to be. Is Sark the right guy to do it?
I think he's as good as anyone else, but the problem isn't Sark. The problem are Texas people. Nick Saban told me one time when he was considering, after he turned down Texas, he didn't want to report to 15 or 20 billionaires every day. That's the way that program rolls. Saban took over at Alabama and said, I'm in charge here. Lincoln Riley has very few people that he has to answer to in Norman. That's the problem for Sark. Every other minute, somebody else is calling up and wanting a piece of him and that program. And until they clear that up, and they haven't yet, that program will be stuck in the mud.
Delighted that I asked. Heather and Paul, always outstanding. Thank you guys both very much. Every Wednesday here with us on Get Up, getting us all set for college football. Meanwhile, as we continue, a disaster last night in Phoenix in Game 5. Even the biggest LeBron fans are worried. Does Big Perk think the King can come back? He'll answer that question next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.